Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to Anything Goes. I am your host, Bennett Pomerantz. The spring season is so pollen, so if I sound a little hoarse, it's because all this pollen is killing me. I'm waiting for a good rainstorm to wash it away so I can get a voice back, but that's beside the point. My guest this evening, I've known this woman, I don't want to say how long, makes me both of us feel old. But let's say it this way. Her young daughter was young, and this daughter's now married, so I'm feeling my age. And when we did science fiction conventions eons ago, she was one of the smartest people on the panel, other than me, of course. The lovely and talented Casey Shapiro.
Thank you for that, Bennett. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Hey, I've been wanting this. I got my dream come true. I'm happy. I mean, we have talked at science fiction conventions for years. And
decades, actually.
I was trying to be nice.
Oh, it's fair. I'm at peace with that now. I'm all good with it.
Oh, I said to somebody, I've known them for 30 years, and they're like, what the? And they were like, you shouldn't say that. So I try to be careful. I say years and try to get away with it.
Well, I'll be the bad cop. It has been decades. Bennett actually befriended me not long out of college when I had just started doing cons and was finding my way around as an aspiring writer and poet and fan and so forth, both sides of the table. So, yeah, you and I have been acquainted for most of my fandom that I know of.
And I take that very highly as a compliment. She's, as I said, and I'll say it before, I'll say it again. She's one of the most intelligent ladies I know.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Remember, the 20 is in the mail, right?
The check's blank, right? Not getting take liberties?
Oh, yeah, okay. That's fine. Check blank. Tell them what you're up to. I know what you're up to, but tell the audience.
Sure. Primarily these days, I have been delving into the very medium in which we're talking. I've been branching out into internet radio, and I started co-hosting a project that a friend started that was a live show concurrent with The Walking Dead. We called it an online viewing party, and what we would do is run the show while The Walking Dead episodes were on, and we would be online about a half hour before the show starts. Occasionally, we were fortunate enough to have a few guests from the show. I'm sure you know that AMC is super restrictive about who can go on the show while the characters are still live. So mostly we got crew or people whose characters had been written off the show. And so we'd talk about all that in vivid detail. And then when the show comes on, we would go mute and then talk about stuff during the commercials. You know, what did you see? I can't believe so-and-so did that, blah, 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 and that sort of thing. And then as time went on, we are acquainted with a friend of ours in Atlanta when I used to live down there for a bit. And he goes by the moniker the Rock and Roll Shrink. And we can talk about that in a little while. But what happened is he is not only a brilliant psychologist, but also a classic rock musician. And he is a fountain of classic rock trivia, like amazing stories and all kinds of detail that he remembers, just cool things that a lot of people don't know about. And they're not even really things you can Google anymore. I'm not sure a lot of them made it on to the internet unless you really dig. So we were talking, and I would tell him about the Walking Dead show that I'm doing. And he got very interested in that, but he's not very computer savvy. So we had to sit him down, and we got him doing a podcast about this stuff. And then finally he's like, I want to go live. So we sat him down and wrote meticulous instructions and got him set up. And so now we do the Walking Dead viewing party, and then we also do the Rock and Roll Strength radio show every couple of weeks on Wednesday nights. And that's been going on for almost 3 years now.
Okay. Which do you like better, Dead or the Shrink?
Oh, that's not fair. That's not fair.
Didn't say I was fair. I just asked.
No, yes. No, this is not a cop-out answer. This is really the truth. I like both of them for different reasons. I came to the Walking Dead show kind of as a super fan. I was originally brought on as a subject matter expert because, as you may remember from my early days, Bennett, I write a little horror and sort of splatterpunk. I certainly don't consider myself a peer of a lot of the founders of that genre, but, I write a lot of that stuff, and I'm a big super fan of, like, Romero's mythos and later The Walking Dead and so on. And my friend Mark Lee, who started that particular show, was very fond of setting up shows that centered around shows he was watching, and he would invite on somebody who was an expert on that show to co-host with him and kind of talk about stuff and, be well-versed enough to have some meaty conversations about the things that are going on, and then other people could call in the chat room and talk to them or once in a while call on the air. And, oh gosh, I have to admit, I've actually lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry.
So why we like
the show? Okay, so I like Walking Dead because I was a fan of the genre and of the show, and it was my first time doing something like this. So I very much appreciate that my friend gave me the opportunity to do this because it's not something I had in my pedigree. I did radio in college briefly, and I've done a lot of theater and acting and stuff, film and stage and all that stuff, but I hadn't done much radio. And so this was a big opportunity for me, and I learned quite a bit about it, and I'm comfortable now, but I was terrified the first few months. I really felt like I had to have my hand held for a long time, and he very patiently did that. So, I enjoy that show because I'm a big fan of that show, the TV show that we talk about. I like the Rock and Roll Shrink because it's a different kind of a show. And that is a show that I essentially formed at the request of the gentleman that I host for. Dr. Mathis wanted to do topics for the public that he thought would be helpful, especially that are not talked about at great length. He is somebody in the mental health field who is not beholden to insurance companies and a lot of other stuff. A lot of the companies control what doctors do and say, and he does not get involved with them, so he's pretty much free to speak his mind. And a lot of his views may be considered radical by many of his peers. And not that he's crazy or out there or anything, but it's just he's going to say, look, I can see the emperor's schlong, and that's really what it is. He's come out with a lot of controversial topics, like he is not very pro 12-step, which some people fuss about. That's one of his most well-known controversial stances that we've taken on the show. But I enjoy it because we get into a lot of vetted facts and peer review papers and science, and not this teen bop psychology magazine kind of psychology that you see. You have a meme, what kind of flower are you? Blah, blah, blah. We don't do that crap. We go into specific pathologies with science. Dr. Mathis will give his expert opinion after I've laid out the outline of the point. And it's a nice little point counterpoint. You have the layperson's commentary, and then he'll do the expert part. And I enjoy the work because we cover topics in ways that you don't see out there very much. And I have had people request topics as well as let me know after the fact that they had seen it in an advertisement or heard about it and it really helped them out. And so I really enjoy hearing that because that's why we do it. And sometimes, unfortunately, we're on at 11 o'clock in the evening, and a lot of people on the East Coast don't really get an opportunity to call in. So a lot of our listeners are after the fact. They'll come download the podcast afterwards. So it's nice
and
to know.
Some of us are asleep, just rarely, but some of us are sleeping.
Yeah. I stopped doing that. That's part of what's wrong with me. I'm sleeping.
I thought I was the only one. Okay.
No, me too. But, you know, for this show, I kind of preload. I'll take a little nap during the evening sometimes just to make sure that I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed when we get on.
Ask a couple of people in my life. They know, you know, about 2 or 3 o'clock, it's a nap for an hour or two. And then I'm great. You know, I can get on and do the show and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a beautiful lady I'm involved with, and she calls me and makes sure, honey, get up for your show. So at 6 o'clock,
oh,
yeah,
good.
I'm up.
Excellent.
Thank you, Donna. You know who you are.
It's good to have a support system with these things.
I'm sorry?
It's good to have a support system for these things.
Yeah, it is. And I, you know, I love doing the show. I just want to mutually talk about our mutual support system here. Sarah Steele is not going to be here this Thursday. She'll be here on January 6th. So we miss you, Sarah. Thank you for the lovely invocation you listed on my Facebook wall. Invocation might be the wrong word, but the lovely tribute that she called us two of her favorite people, which made my day.
That was very nice. And some of your listeners may not know, Bennett and Sarah actually met at my wedding.
Yep, I remember that well, yes.
Yeah.
And
so that was nice to hear from her. I know she's got a lot on her plate right now.
She's got a lot on her plate, and I worry. I don't worry about her. She's great, but I still worry. I worry about you. You're my friend. I worry about you. You know that.
Yeah, I was gonna say you've always worried, even when you say you don't. I know better.
Yeah, well, I'm saying even you, and I love you dearly, but even you, when I read what you write on some of your Facebook posts, I worry. Not about.
Oh no, I get it.
It's care. Excuse me. It's care we don't always have.
I get it.
So, tell me. Somebody asked me here. Have you thought? Okay. This is from Janine 175. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
I know that's her name. She says, have you thought of getting Lauren Cohen, since she's no longer on the series, but she's also no longer on the Whiskey Cavalier show?
Actually, Lauren is not eligible because she is still contracted to the show. Many fans may not be aware that she did not quit the show. She is on hiatus to see how Whiskey Cavalier did. And that is why her plot line was kind of ham-fisted the way that it was. They deliberately did it so that if she stayed, they could write her out plausibly. And if she came back, they could get her back in without too much drama. So, no, I couldn't get Lauren right now. And I'll be very honest with you about something. My co-host is somebody... he's no longer co-hosting the show. I've taken over as the primary host. He was more well-connected with some of the bigger names because he was somebody who was a moderator for a lot of these big panels that you would see, like at Comic-Con type things, like Dragon Con, MegaCon in Orlando, that sort of stuff. And that empowered him to do panels with all of these big names associated with the shows. And that's how they got acquainted. And this is what facilitated him being able to ask them to come on. And I don't have as many of those sorts of connections. I have a few, but not Lauren Cohen level. I really wish I did. I'd love to have
Lauren. Oh,
yeah,
I know.
If that's ever possible.
Well, we have
sure,
a mutual
totally
friend.
Will.
I know he's not on. His name is Count Gore DeVoe.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh,
I
yes.
To see
and
him
I.
A couple years
ahead.
Ago. Oh, just I saw him at AwesomeCon up here.
Yeah,
I believe it was
I didn't 2014. See him. I didn't see him this time, but oh yeah, I love the man. as a, no, I'm not talking gay. I love the man because he's such a...
He's an icon in the D.C. area, you know, the Captain 20 stuff and the Count stuff. And he's still doing things at a theater up in Silver Spring. He'll do appearances for
AFI theater in Silver Spring.
Yes, yes. We got to go to a couple of those presentations, and it was wonderful to see him. It was just marvelous. You know, he's very near and dear to anybody who grew up in the D.C. metro area.
He still has a podcast that's on CountGoreDuvall.com. So
we should check it out.
Oh, yeah, please check it out. He's a great horror movie host.
Yep.
A lot of the movies are in public domain, and still, it's with him doing that, it is great to do and wonderful. Captain 20, I'm not a big fan, but that's okay. I want his coffin.
I think a few people
coffin.
Yeah,
but,
I know. I
yeah, you can tell these are we are two fan kids that I'm talking about, Casey and I, that love each other dearly, and it's like, you know all the, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're two fans. I can't say fanboys, but you know what I'm saying, fan kids.
Yeah.
You know. Let me ask you
a
question.
Get a kick out of that. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I didn't know what you said.
Oh, I had just said, yeah, it's true. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. This is from Diane. And Diane says, has conventions changed from the older days when you guys were at conventions to now?
Jesus,
yes. An old science fiction.
Yes. They've changed in scope and format. And I am happy to say that the format that you and I are more accustomed to, the smaller, like one hotel, one normal weekend, one dedicated genre, like it will be Star Trek or horror or something. It's one little sliver of it. And it's just the people for that one little sliver. That's the format that we were kind of weaned on. And the things you see, like Dragon Con did exist at the beginning of my fandom, but it was a little baby con back then. And Comic-Con as an entity, I don't believe formally existed, not like it is now where you have a convention center. They're so enormous now, and they try to be all things to all people, and it's like they took 10 cons and scotch taped them together. I find that overwhelming, and it's kind of neat because it empowers them to invite a lot of big names. And that's lovely because there's so many big names now. You know, media has exploded, and the types of media, you know, you have film and video and TV and DVDs and stuff you can do online and YouTube people and all
and
of
Big
these
Bang.
Different people. And what?
And Big Bang Theory.
No, not shows. Media.
I'm sorry?
It's not shows, media. So
well,
Big Bang Theory is one show. And what I'm saying is that cons are so huge now because there's so many shows to know and so many stars in them to see now. And you couldn't fit all that into the normal one weekend at a Hilton that we're accustomed to.
Yeah, I know.
And those cons do still exist, I'm thankful to say. For example, this past weekend, Balticon, that I know that you know about.
I know
it has
well. I wasn't. Yeah, I didn't go this year, but I know it well.
Yeah, I haven't been since I've come back to D.C. yet. I intend to one day. But
we'll
you know
go
that
together.
Con. We'll see. I got a lot of planning to do. It always takes me by surprise because I'm not used to it being on Memorial Day weekend. That throws me because I used to be Disclave's purview, and now Disclave is a different con. But it's not happening this year, and it's a giant thing I can't keep track of. I'm old. I need it to be really simple. But,
honey,
you know, conventions
17.
Have changed.
Well, let's make you're I, 17. I'm not going to say the other years. That doesn't count.
The 17, Doc, 1700, what? I'm sorry.
I said
another
you're
thing
17, and you're going to stay that way. In my mind, you're still this beautiful young chick I've known forever. So, well,
bless
I'm, you know, and your
yes.
husband's a lucky man, but that's beside the point.
Thank you. Well, I feel the same for him. He's been very good for me. But what I was also saying is that has changed is interactions with the guests of honor. I know that it used to be that you could walk in and they would happily sign whatever you put in front of them or sign a random picture. I mean, you could just buy the picture, they'd sign everything. And now little tiny guests get like $20-$30 for an autograph. Big name guests are $60 to $100. Photo ops with these guys are like $200. And I know some of the model has changed, whereas cons used to pay for people to come. Now quite a few of the guests are paying their own way, and that's how they pay for those expensive plane tickets. And sometimes they'll comp them the hotel room. It depends on the convention, not all of them. So some guests do it because they need the money to be able to show up at all and to market their own stuff. And some guests honestly do it because they can get away with it. They're a big enough name where they can say, you know, picture with me, $200, I'll sign it. And I will fully admit I've paid an obscene amount of money for a couple very select opportunities. I think my favorite was Dragon Con when we were still down there. I had to be 2011 or 2012, one or the other. I can't remember. It was the 45th anniversary of I Dream a Genie. That is not a franchise you normally see at conventions. And so super unusual, number one. Number two, they managed to get Barbara Eden and Major Healy, Bill. Lost his last name. Thank you. Bill Daly was there and Larry Hagman. And they had a mock-up of the inside of the Genie bottle where they did their photo ops. And they had the Genie bottles for sale. And they could get them autographed. And that was an iconic part of my childhood since that show was done in black and white. And I was so shocked to find out that they were coming. And so I went ahead and I splurged on that. That's not something I would do every year. But this was really special. And it was kind of surreal for me because I was the first in line because some of you may not know, I'm mildly disabled now. Not badly, but to the point where I can't be standing in line. So they had me in a accessibility area waiting to go, and I was first. And so I got my bottle signed, and we went up and did the photos and everything. And it was lovely. Everybody was very nice to me, and Barbara Eden kindly guided me because love Bill Daly dearly. he was not really sharp.
With it.
Yeah, he was kind of fading, and he was signing over everybody else's autographs. So she said, let him do it first. And then they just worked around it. She was trying so hard to be gracious and kind to him, you know, and she pulled me aside so I wouldn't embarrass him. And so we worked together to make it seem like it's all on purpose and everybody was cool. I also discovered that Bill had a partner, and by this I don't mean an assistant.
Bill apparently
had a male partner with him on tour, and the male partner was wearing a wedding ring. So I did not know that. It does not appear in his wiki or any of his bios, but that was interesting. But what was most interesting, at the end of that, it was not that much longer later. I thought for sure we were going to lose Bill first, and we lost Larry. It wasn't long before Hagman died. Yeah. So that opportunity was once. Because they lost him right after that. That opportunity to do that shoot was once because they lost Larry Hagman not long after that.
I remember. Now let me ask you a question. You have been other than Star Trek, Star Wars, I could go off Space 1999. Do you have a favorite piece of fandom other than The Walking Dead that you like? It's a guilty pleasure.
Outside of Star Trek?
Yeah.
That was one of my first where I really went full on fandom. That's a little tough. There's a lot that I like. I was a big fan of Buffy for a while. Buffy's a huge guilty pleasure, Buffy and Angel. I've been a bit of a Joss fan, even though I know he's had issues personally, but I've been a big fan of several of his franchises, even the cheesy ones. Doesn't matter. Trying to think. I think those are probably some of my top two that I really still sink my fandom energy into. And probably if I heard of others, it might ring a bell, but those are the first ones that come to mind. It would be Star Trek and Buffy. And interestingly, just old Trek. Well, we may disagree. I didn't know it was contest. I thought it was a question.
No, I didn't think it was contest at all. I mean, I'm a fan of Wild Wild West, which was the first science fiction Western.
See, I haven't watched it, so I can't say that.
Oh, well, I have all four seasons and the two TV movies. Come on over. I'll set up a viewing screening for you.
Understood. The thing about Trek, caveat, is that it's only old Trek. A lot of the spinoffs kind of overwhelmed me a little bit. I watched Next Generation, and then I kind of had to stop.
I'm sorry. Shatner is, and dare I say it, Shatner is my captain. Okay. Now I've declared that. We have 5 minutes of the hour, and
okay.
I love talking. Don't get me wrong. But I want you to tell them where they can find you. I tell them the two podcasts and anything else you're doing.
I'm not really doing anything else other than those at this time. So if you were to go on to Facebook and look for the Casey Shapiro Walking Dead Online Viewing Party, there's a Facebook page for that. And I have a listing of the old episodes, so you can pull them up as MP3s and listen to them. And then the Rock and Roll Shrink also has a Facebook page, as well as on the rockandrollshrink.com. And you can find the not only the show, but the earlier podcasts and some of Dr. Mathis's writings, as well as classic rock trivia, a lot of very cool classic rock trivia.
So let me ask you,
uh-huh.
If you could do this all over again, you know, you've been in fandom, I won't say how long, it's not, you know, people don't need to hear that, but if you could do it all over again, would you change anything?
No. I had some very lucky opportunities. I got to meet some really interesting people in fandom early on, and I learned a very big lesson very quickly from some of them. And I think the biggest one I learned was from Harlan Ellison. When I met him, I didn't understand who he was. And a lot of my encounters in fandom were just not being that guy at the right time. A lot of people forget that the people who are the writers and the actors and all this stuff, they're people, and they may be creative and eccentric or whatever else, but they're just people, and sometimes they go to the bathroom and go to McDonald's and talk to their spouses and other stuff, and if you don't glom over them and just be a glittering sycophant constantly, a lot of them will just come up and talk to you because it's so frickin' refreshing. They don't get that very often. That's how I met Harlan. I just talked to him, and I was civil, and I didn't try to do the I'm going to be the guy who says something that shuts Harlan Ellison up. I totally did the opposite of that, so I got spoken to. And that's one of the big secrets that I've carried with me in fandom the whole time is don't be that guy, and you'll get to do a lot of cool stuff. That's how I got to be on the other side of that table. And for those of you who may not understand the euphemism, the table being when you go to panels and stuff, you'll see the people on the panel, and then there's the audience. And I've been on both sides of that table, and that's what that means.
And I remember who got you on one of some of the sides, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I remember that well. And Hal Clement was mine, so I understand.
Yes. Well, Hal did me a lot of solids as well. He helped me quite a bit with my writing. And I have to give him credit because he was not a horror person. And he was
classy and
erudite enough to be able to give me feedback on my stuff in a genre that I know personally he hated, and I respect him for that.
I understand that. I am not trying to be rude. I would love to talk to you all night. I mean,
I know, we're getting to the top of the hour. I get it.
Exactly. We're at like about 30 seconds right now. And
fantastic.
It is such a pleasure, Casey Shapiro, as always. Next
you.
Week, E.S. Tilton will be sitting in the hot seat with me. It'll be a lot of fun. And Sarah comes back on the 6th, so it'll be great as well.
Fantastic. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Be well, fly right. Good night.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.